Amen. And I'd like to invite, thank you so much, Chuck and Mark. Thank you very, very much. I'd like to invite the kids to come down for the children's message. Miss Pam, she's away with our youth today, so you have to listen to me for a little while. It's good to see you. If there's any other kids out there that have might be nervous, might feel better with a parent coming down, you're welcome, parents, to come on down. How are you today? I don't know how, Miss, are you good? If you're good, give me a thumbs up. If you're not so good, give me a thumbs down. Hey, you're all pretty good, more or less. Yeah, very good. Well, I wanted to talk about, what do I have in my hand here? A stuffed animal. More specifically, a sheep that used to, he doesn't work anymore. He used to baa. What does a sheep sound like?
Baa.
Okay. Now, a sheep, are they really ferocious, mean, scary, dangerous animals?
No.
This doesn't look mean, ferocious, and scary?
No.
Well, listen, this is what it would say. Baa. What does a sheep say? Can you make the sheep sound? You think they can help us make sheep sounds?
Yeah.
Go ahead. They're pretty good. They're pretty good at that. They're not bad. Yes, yes. So sheep, do they have pointy horns that they can gouge into things like bears? Do sheep have pointy horns that are really sharp, that they can run really fast and crash into other things and scare them away? No, pointy ones. I mean pointy ones that are going to... Do they have tusks like an elephant?
No.
So that when they get really mad, they can do sword fights with their tusks and chase away lions and things?
Yeah.
No. Do they have really sharp, big teeth so that they can rip apart something that might get them? In fact, somebody give me your hand. This is, if you feed a sheep, hold your hand out like this. Sheep, when they eat out of your hand, it feels like that. Does that hurt?
No.
No, it doesn't. It almost like tickles, right? Like out of, they don't have, how about claws? Do they have claws that they can go rah, rah, rah? What has big claws, big teeth, a big roar that can really, like a wolf, right?
Or
a... A lion, right? A bear, right? Are sheep like bears or lions? A rhinoceros too, yes. And dragons and woolly mammoths. Thank you. Okay, stop. Time out. So if there was something mean and scary out there, would a sheep be able to protect itself very good? You know what a sheep would do? It would go, bah, don't eat me. It would go like that. So enter... How does a sheep get protected?
Shepherd.
A shepherd, which is like a farmer of sheep. And in the gospel lesson, or the psalm that we read today, the Bible lesson, we read about how God is like our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, what's a shepherd's job? Yes. You forgot. That's okay. Yes. To herd sheep. I herd sheep like that?
Yeah.
No, not like that. What does it mean to herd a sheep? Yes.
It's like to keep them together and keep them with you because there might be dangers out there.
Yes, there might be wolves. To keep them together, to keep them with you, there might be dangers out there. And it says in that psalm that God the shepherd, we're sort of pretending that we're sheep. We're like sheep because sometimes in this world there's scary stuff out there. And we are more like sheep than lions sometimes, you know? It'll get us in a sense. So God keeps us safe. And it says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What is this?
A staff.
This is a staff or a walking stick. It's really strong. I can like put all my weight on it. It doesn't bend. How could this be a comfort to a sheep? What could you do with something like this if you were a shepherd? You could whack a wolf. Whack a wolf, right? Whack a wolf. Who wants to be a wolf?
Me!
Oh, yeah? We need to do some educating. Whack, whack, whack. How else could a staff like this be comforting? Yes. You could whack their teeth off. Yeah. Along the whacking theme. Yes. Someone whacked one of your teeth off. No? Oh, it fell out. Yes. How else could this be a comfort if we were sheep? You could stuff it in their mouth. Did you go to shepherd school?
Yeah.
What did you want to say?
Put it on the bottom of them and then just pull it off.
You could put them, yeah, you know, shepherds, you've seen them maybe in Christmas pageants and maybe you've seen pictures. My staff doesn't have a hook on it. They have hooks on it. Why do they use those hooks? Yes. Yeah, you could use it. This one would slip right off, but if it had a big hook, you can imagine I could hook somebody and pull it back.
You can use that one as a baseball bat and just hit the sheep. I mean, it can
Yeah, it's not for that, though. Yeah, they wouldn't. Okay. You too need to go to shepherd school. Yes.
Yeah.
You could put it on the ground and trip the scary animals when they were coming in. Good idea. Did one of you want to say something too? Yes. Yeah, a camel could use his horns to buck the wolf right off of there. I don't know if shepherds have camels or not. They should if they don't. That's a good idea. I'm going to mention that to the shepherd union. All right. Well, so God, sometimes in this big, scary world, we feel not very safe. And God is our safety. I think that's what the Bible is talking about, that God is with us no matter what, even if we feel not very safe. Sometimes God gives us people that can protect us, like police officers and things. Sometimes God gives us stuffed animals, like a little sheep or a little stuffed animals you can sleep with, and that makes you feel safer, you know. But God keeps us safe and wants us to be safe. And so that's what I hope that you heard. Yes?
I take my friends with me.
You take your friends with you. That's a great way to help stay safe. And so God sends us people. Oh, there's more.
My friends, they have Nerf guns so they can go like.
Oh, your friends have Nerf guns so they can go kapow! Like that. We're going to talk to the shepherds about that. Maybe get that in the shepherd curriculum too. All right. Well, let's say a prayer. God, we thank you for being like our shepherd. You can keep us safe. And you can, even in the midst of a scary, scary world, we can always ask you for help, and we can be reminded through our friends, through our family, through our church, that you are with us always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Go out to children's church, I think. I think it's Maribel and Kenneth this morning.
Did you not know that?
I think. We are working. Do we have children's church? Wait, before you go anywhere, let's make sure we stay safe. Do you need a staff? All right. No wolf whacking. All right. Thank you. Well, that was fun. Pam is lucky. She gets to do that often. Before I get, just as a bridge to kind of settle ourselves and get into this sermon, a few things that have absolutely nothing to do with the sermon that I came across, they're just filled with joy. And this is a crazy world, and there's a lot of things out there in the world that are not joyful. And so these words of wisdom maybe can bring a little joy. Like the word of wisdom, if at first you don't succeed, then skydiving isn't for you. Think about that. Eagles may soar, which is beautiful, but weasels don't get sucked into jet engines. Think about that. The early bird may get the worm, but the second mouse gets the cheese. All these are just, I think they're really good. And they made me laugh. And I was telling someone this morning, whether you laugh or not, I don't really care. Because they made me laugh this morning. When everything is coming your way, you're in the wrong lane and going the wrong way. So, again, that has nothing whatsoever to do with what I'm about to say. But, hey, you know, before we just get in to finish this, just turn to your neighbor. Don't stand up. Just turn to a neighbor. Tell them you're glad they're here. Would you do that? Don't get up. Don't get up. Don't get up. All right. That's really good. I timed it before the service. I timed it. I'm glad you're here takes about 0.9 seconds. But y'all just took like a whole minute of that. Very slow time. Well, back to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Where have you heard that before? I mean, before Francis read it this morning. Usually. Funerals. We hear it often at funerals, where often a loved one has died. We read many things at funerals, poems and remembrances perhaps a family member wishes to share. There are moments when that is so sweet. There are moments of great courage sometimes in funerals. I'll never forget being at a funeral of someone. I was paying my respects to their family. I wasn't close to the person, but the grandchild was a piano student and sat down and played a piece that was her granddaddy's favorite. Oh, and she started crying halfway through the piece, and she had to stop, and the whole place was just sobbing and just sharing in the grief that this little girl had. And the pastor came, was a friend of the little girl's, it was her pastor, and put his arm around her and gave her the strength. It was such great courage and so sweet. Have you ever been to a funeral where something really courageous happens, something really powerful happens? There are moments of grace. There are holy, beautiful, sometimes confusing things happen at funerals, but mostly holy and beautiful things happen in the times around the death of a loved one. We pastors are given the blessing. I know you could testify to this, Tom. Often we're invited into really sacred spaces around the time of death, of nearing death or right after. And it's a sacred trust that we have to try and speak the words that need to be said and care for the families. There are moments in this valley of the shadow of death. Sometimes we pastors are called upon, even within our own family. When my grandfather, Homer, passed away, I felt more than I ever had, that's before I was a pastor, more than I'd ever felt it, I felt the shadow of death like I was in a valley. It felt very lonely. There was a sadness that was hard to describe. As I remembered him, as I remembered how much I loved him, I still even love him. It was so sad in the year or two preceding his death when his health made it so that he had to leave his farm where I'd done so much growing up. All this whole chapter of life was coming to an end. I was deeply sad. And I'll never forget being that morning getting dressed for the funeral on the day of his funeral and putting on a tie and wishing. I'll never forget it. I was all alone in an apartment. I was a young man, 22 years old, I think. I missed my friends. I wish they were there. I tried calling some friends just to talk and have someone there, and no one was home. Oh, I felt so, so alone. So many tears. God says in the very first part of this book, the Holy Bible, let us make humankind in our image. Let us make people in the image of God. God says that in Genesis. And towards the end of the book, in 1 John, it says, God is love. And so we are made in God's image. We are made in the image of God to love life, to love one another, to love God, to love ourselves. That's the image that is imprinted on us for the way, it's the way it's supposed to be. And so we do that. Who can ever forget the first smile of a baby gazing into her mother's eyes? It's love. Who can ever forget how good it feels to have one of those little tiny children wrap their tiny little fingers around your pinky, right? That is just love that springs forth. Who can forget countless cold afternoons on bleachers, watching your daughter cheer or your son standing on the sidelines in the rain, waiting and watching for the moment when the score gets run up enough that the coach thinks it's worth the risk to put your child in, right? That's love that sticks you on those bleachers. Who's ever experienced a surprise letter that puts out the fire of a burning bridge between you and another, telling you that the sender had it all wrong and is hoping that you'll forgive them? That's love. Who's experienced a quiet meal in a quiet house? A silent smile from a partner says all that needs to be said. Or sitting at a hospital bedside when you feel helpless in every way, except being able to hold a hand or fluff a pillow or call the nurse for some more ice chips. It's all love. It's the very image of God imprinted on our hearts. Well, we share memories, special memories at a funeral service often, back to the funeral. My brother shared one at my grandfather's funeral that I hadn't heard. It was about my grandpa Priestaff, my dad's dad, who enjoyed golfing. And my brother did more golfing than I did and so played a lot more rounds with my grandfather than I did. And my brother at the funeral, I didn't know this until I heard him tell this story. Sometimes my grandpa would hit the ball and pop it up. You know how that happens on the golf course? You don't hit it right, it just kind of goes straight up in the air. And my grandpa Priestaff would go, "For God, for, look out, God," you know. We laughed. We get asked sometimes as pastors to preside, to say the words that are hard to say at funerals. When that same grandpa died, I told my dad, "You know, Dad, I'm a pastor now. I'll do the service for the family." My dad said, "No, son, you won't. You're going to sit with us as a family, and you're going to let Grandpa's pastor do the service." And I'm so glad that my dad had that wisdom. The one time that my dad told me something right to do, right? No, that I would admit, that I would admit. And so I sat there, and they did ask me to come and read a passage of Scripture, and I was a wreck. I couldn't get through it. The one little passage I had to read, tears were streaming down. I couldn't catch my breath, and I needed the healing. I needed the comfort that all of you know so well how to provide. Some of the deepest sobs come out during those moments. You know, if you've been to funerals, sometimes some of the deepest joys get shared as well from someone's life. There's a man named Ken Davenport who died last year, and at his funeral, they shared a story about him. He was beloved. He worked at Blue Cross, Blue Shield. Some of you might have known him. He was fairly well known in this region. He had hired somebody, one of the first people in her family to have a job, and loved her, and she was so excited to work for him, and they had a great relationship, but he was a prankster. And so they shared the story at the funeral when she got a new car. The first new car had ever been purchased in her family. She got it. And he came in the office when she was so excited to tell about that. He said, "Now you be sure with that new car. You need to take it into the dealership and get the air swapped out in the tires. Because they built that car in Detroit, and there's bad air up in Detroit. And so if you're going to drive that car in North Carolina, you're going to need to have them take the air out and put in fresh North Carolina air." She was so mad at him when she came into the office the day after she had taken it to the dealership, asking them to swap the air out in her tires. I don't think, laughed harder in my life than we laughed at Ken Davenport's sacred, holy, reverent, joyful homegoing service, right? Do you know what I'm talking about? Because the essence of him was joy. And that joy is not going to be bound up by some paltry little transition that we call death. Sometimes we cry, sometimes we laugh. The joy that is found, even the tears that we share, that's love, right? That's what that is. It's the sharing of that love of life. It's the very image of God. So we also read Psalm 23. It's familiar, maybe because it's short. We read it not for the sake of the dead, but for the sake of the living. Psalm 23 is words to the living. I think we read it because we like to think of heaven as a place of wonderful, pleasant green pastures, of restful, still water. Certainly it has the phrase, yea, though I walk through the valley of the what? Shadow of death, right? I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Someone told me, I didn't go double check it, but someone told me that with, it might not be true, but it makes for a good sermon. With is the very center word in that psalm. Someone can go check it on their own time. It's certainly in the middle, close to the middle. Thou art with me, the core, the center, for God is with us, even in the midst when we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And there is no greater comfort when we are feeling alone than knowing someone is with you, that God is with you, even if you don't believe it. There are a room full of people when we say that psalm that remind us that God is with us. And we need not fear evil, for God's rod and staff, they comfort me. How do we feel the very presence of God? Some of us feel it in kind of a mystical way, some kind of spiritual sense, a quiet confidence when we're praying at our bedside, a verse of scripture that comes just at the right time, or when we're driving in the car, or a bird that we see when we're walking in the woods. God is with us. Or maybe for you it comes in the form of signs of nature, like that bird or a rainbow or the distant call of a flock of geese or a butterfly. Does anyone, I'm curious, do any of you ever experience God's presence in that way? You see some sign and you're just sure that God is with you. Anybody bold enough to raise up their hand? Yeah. You're not alone. For many of us it comes most strongly when we are in the presence of those who love us. A weekly call from a college roommate from 20 or 30 years ago. A hug from our little boy. A birthday party. A cup of hot tea shared on a cold morning. Sometimes we feel God's presence that we're not alone at those times. But I got to be honest, there are a lot of mornings when it seems not much of any kind of spiritual significance is happening. The work day ahead looks pretty much as unexciting as it did yesterday. We weren't thrilled about it then. When I think about what I'm going to eat today, nothing really whets my appetite. No one has come to visit in a while. The house is either already clean or too messy to make me feel like I can make any progress, so what's the point? My kids are scattered to the four corners of the earth, making far fewer good decisions than I wish they would. The world descends into chaos, it seems. I mean, what would possess someone to shoot up a synagogue? Lord, have mercy. What would cause someone to mail a bomb to anybody? Lord, have mercy. How can anyone get their head around 14 million people in Yemen that are facing risk of starvation today? 14 million. North Carolina's got 9 million people in it, give or take. 14 million people who, a reporter I heard on the radio said, many of whom are just choosing to lock themselves inside and die a quiet death of starvation because the war-torn world outside is so frightening. Where is Yemen anyway? I wonder, when we confront these realities of the world out there, what it would be like if we remembered that this passage, Psalm 23, is God's words for time of living, not just for funerals. What would change for us if on a cold morning with not much plan, on an evening when we have more month left than we do money, More bills left than we do budget. I wonder what would change in our lives if when we said, I don't know what I am going to do, what would happen if that became sort of a flag for us, an invitation, a trigger phrase? And we would say, oh, I just said it. I don't know what I'm going to do. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leadeth me into green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I wonder what would happen if we started to say this verse, this psalm in the land of the living, and not just when we're sitting at a funeral. The Lord is my shepherd. Like a sheep, I will follow my shepherd wherever my shepherd leads. So often in our lives, we think, yeah, God, you want me to go and help those people? I'm not going to follow you. I'm going to go over here, right? Off on our own. And we know what happens when we do that. Jesus leaves the 99 and has to go find us, pick us up, put us on his shoulders, and bring us back, because we usually find out that we didn't know the best anyway. The Lord leads me beside still waters. It's chaotic. There's a lot of things to do. But once a week, God invites us to rest from worry and from labor, to carve out a retreat in a green pasture, a nourishing place for my soul. And even and especially when I turn on the news and find that my community, my state, my world is overshadowed by terror or war or hunger or fear, I will fear no evil, for my shepherd is with me. Shepherd's rod and staff, they comfort me. Even if I feel like I'm all alone, like the world could care less about my best interests, my shepherd cares enough for me to prepare a table before me, a banquet. My character, my value, my invitation to this banquet is not dependent on my neighbor, nor is it dependent on whether I'm in the majority political party. My value and worth aren't determined by whether a neighbor gossips about me, even though they shouldn't. No, I am made, you are made in God's image, and God sets a banquet before you in the presence of your enemies. God anoints your head with oil so that you may be a blessing to others. Your cup runneth over with all you need if you follow Jesus where Jesus leads. Otherwise, you're going to be caught in a thicket somewhere, and Jesus is going to be on the hunt searching for you. So if you find yourself this morning fearing your neighbor, fear not, for God's rod and staff comfort. The Lord is our shepherd. If you find yourself wishing that you had more than you have, you've looked at the Joneses and their house looks nicer, their car drives better, they've got more of them, worry not. The Lord is your shepherd. You don't want for anything. If you find yourself feeling alone, do not be dismayed, for thou art with me. That is good news for the living. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue our worship this morning with the prayers of the people. And I'll invite some prayers, and then we'll have Michael come, our intern Michael Vanneman, come and sort of weave all of our prayers into one. We are praying this morning for Al Taylor and Al Cole, and also giving thanks for successful, a busy week in doctor's offices for Elizabeth Sabiston. We continue to remember your family in our prayers. We want to pray for the family of Jimmy Horner and for Dolores Blanchard Johnson. We also want to remember the people of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, in light of the mass shooting. We give thanks for new life The Coles, Al and Nancy shared with me that they have a new great grandbaby, so we give thanks for them. We also want to continue to remember that Miss Catherine O'Brien, her family asked that we share, has been in decline recently, and so please keep her in your prayers, as well as George Johnson, who is in the care of hospice now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And Michael, would you come up now and share, weave our prayers into one.
Please pray with me. Oh Lord, in a world where we've been called to show love and to show your love as manifest, where can our encouragement come when it seems that hate overshadows all works of love that we do? Constantly we are faced with acts of brutality and hatred stemming from things that we can't even understand, from the depths of the human heart and how twisted it can become. Our only hope is in you to find the strength to carry on, to find the hope and the faith that our neighbor is not someone who will turn against us, not one to be feared, but one that you have called us to love. Hear our cries in the local where we ourselves have tribulations with death, with relations that may have been torn asunder. Enter into those spaces and restore us and show us that we are of one flock, no matter where we are in life, that you are the one shepherd that unites us. And in when we come face to face with a world gone so dark, and we don't seem to even have the words to address . Let us trust in your words and speak the prayer that you have taught us that is sufficient to us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses, which God has first given to us, as we share them, would be used for God's glory, to minister to souls throughout the world and right here in our own neighborhood. Thank you.
Though we are sheep who have wandered from your fold, you have called us back and nourished us that we do not want.